Welcome back, BTS Army. This is Begin the Search, and here we go with part two of the filling in the gaps since 2021 until now, which is August 23rd, 2023. That's a lot of 20s I'm talking about, but I'm hoping that with the time I have left before I go to my work in a little bit, I'm hoping that I can continue filling in the gaps and talk more about the solo projects and solo releases that BTS members have been doing and been proud of and working hard at. So without too much chatter, let's go ahead and get into it. This is Begin the Search. Thank you so much for joining me, and let's get started. Okay, armies, thank you so much. I am ready to dive right back in and continue talking about Namjoon releasing Indigo at the end of 2022. And I was talking last time in the episode, was also recorded today, August 3rd, 2023. I was telling you that I absolutely love Wildflower. The MV is stunning. The like where he's standing in a field, RM, he said that he made up the word flower work, and I'm not sure, I don't want to be wrong to talk about like what that is, except that I thought he was talking about fireworks looking like flowers. I'm not one of the armies who knows every context and every lyric. I listen to their music, but I don't always look up the songs and what they mean. I don't always read their lyrics. So anyway, I feel like I read or heard somewhere that Namjoon said he made up flower work, and that it sounded more beautiful to talk about the firework or the flower shooting across the sky, or being bright in the sky in Korean, rather than having those words in English. So he went ahead and mixed Korean and English, and Eugene sang Light a Flower Work. So besides Wildflower, I love All Day. It's super catchy. I'll listen to that one a lot. I love Closer. I listen to that one a lot. Paul Blanco has such a smooth voice. So smooth. Such a nice tone. Just, oh my goodness, it's like melt your heart, melt your ears voice. So good. So that collaboration was wonderful. And if you haven't yet, please do spend an hour or so of your time watching RM at Rolling Hall in Seoul. It's on YouTube again. Like I said, I think I said that a few times now. I said it in the last episode, and I'll say it in this one. It's going to be an hour of your time or more. I don't know how long it is, but it's going to be a time well spent if you watch that concert. Lucky Armies, they got to be so close to him. They were so respectful. Like, they could have reached out and touched him easily, and they didn't. Like, when he was reaching down to get water, they could have been, like, you know, pushing boundaries. They could have been reaching out trying to touch his head or his arm or his shoe, and they didn't. And I think that was just so respectful. I don't know how many people can fit in Rolling Hall. It looked like easily it could have been 200 or so people. And I think he said something like he'd always wanted to do a concert at that venue. And some of the artists that he featured on in Indigo said that they had already performed there, and so they knew what the stage was like. But he was meeting them in person for the first time, some of them. Like, he had recorded his parts and they had recorded their parts, and they had sent them digitally and recorded and mixed and mastered everything for the tracks on Indigo without actually meeting each other. And he got to meet them for the first time in the concert, and that was really exciting to watch. So I really liked that. I don't remember the names of the other, there were two more women who featured on some of the tracks, and I don't remember their names, but that one was a really cute song that's just kind of like with an acoustic guitar and maybe a bongo drums. The one where he whistles a little bit in it. I'm sorry, I don't remember the title, but it's the one where the girl's like na 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 na. Super cute song. And it gives me kind of the vibe that Namjoon was going for when he released Bicycle, but it's completely different than Bicycle. So anyway, I really like that, like, mellow, calm, laid back, easy vibe of acoustic guitar and a bongo drum. You can't go wrong with that. I love bongo drums. So that's one of the good ones that I also really enjoy. And then, of course, closer, like I said, Mahalia. She sounds cool in her song Closer with Paul Blanco. I'll probably listen to Closer the most after Wildflower. And then at the end of that, after he promoted the songs from Indigo, he went ahead and did Sexy Nukem. Is that how you say it? The collab that he did with Balming Tiger. And I did not really like that song. It felt a little bit disturbing to me when I would listen to it before. Until I watched him do this choreography for it in that Rolling Hall concert, and suddenly I was like, whoa, this song is cool. And he looks cool performing it. So I don't feel chaotic and like disturbed by it anymore. It's weird how it takes you seeing something to be able to then feel comfortable listening to it. So that's just kind of different. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that. I'd love to hear if you ever did experience something like that. He looks cool doing it. He kind of bends down, and it's this sort of, I don't know how to describe it, and I might be silly if I describe it because maybe that's not what it is at all, but it's kind of like I could almost picture him doing kind of a stance in a martial art. In the part where it goes, ooh, ah, ooh, ah. He just looks so cool doing it. There have been times where Namjoon is really, really bulked up from all of his workouts. And during the Rolling Hall concert, he wasn't super bulked up. And he had a t-shirt. And I think before he had like a jean, a denim shirt over the t-shirt. And he ends up taking off the shirt, the long sleeve shirt. Is it a jacket or a long sleeve denim shirt? Anyway, he ends up taking off the long sleeved piece and just wearing a white t-shirt with his jeans. And he's got a, I don't know if he has got bracelets on or a necklace or a couple necklaces and the jeans and a belt, but he looks so good. He just looks so good. I think his t-shirt is tucked in. If I remember, I know I told you I watched it 3 times, but I can't even remember if the shirt was tucked in or not. His hair looked good. One of my favorite things about that concert is how easily he moves on stage and how comfortable he looks. He didn't look super sweaty. Hopefully he wasn't like really hot and uncomfortable up there. He did drink some water and stuff, but I really like the way it was filmed because as he's doing his songs and as he's like starting out the tracks, you see the featured artist coming up the stairs or coming through the hall and going around through the door that comes out on stage, and you get to see them actually, appearing on the stage next to Namjoon for the song. And then at the end of the song, he spends a few minutes talking with them. The crowd claps for them, of course, and cheers and gives them love, and like during the song and then afterwards. But I really liked that concert because there wasn't like tons of screaming and cheering during the songs, So it was appropriate and it was respectful. And that, I think that kind of intimate concert is something I would really love to be at because bless every ARMY's heart. Everybody that wants to go to a stadium tour and cheer and yell and scream and cry and shout and sing along and stuff. But I feel like the ideal setting for me would be something like that Rolling Hall where there's only 200 or 300 people, and yes, it was standing room only. I think that would be really sad for the armies that were in the back to not be able to be up close in the front like that. I think like my heart is such that I'd want to say, okay, halfway through this concert, we're gonna shift and the second half or the back half of the armies are gonna move to the front. And then everybody who was in the front, you're gonna move to the back half, and I think that that would have been fair. I think it would have been appropriate. I don't know how chaotic or how disorganized or organized something like that could have been, but if they had a way to kind of like, okay, let's get in line and follow and like turn and rotate, and like maybe the front row could then like go around the sides and go to the back, and then the next rows could come up and follow them, and like as close as you were, maybe you can give up your close spot for the people who had to like stand in the back behind you. And I'm sure there were people that were shorter than others and couldn't see him that well because, anyway, I just think it was really nice and tasteful venue and super intimate. It's unfortunate that it was standing room only because I feel like some armies blocked the view of other armies. But at the same time, I think the acoustics were really nice. The atmosphere was really nice. The whole aesthetic of it was really nice. And it was just cool to see each artist come on stage with him. And they performed the songs, and they all sounded wonderful, just as good as the tracks, the recorded tracks, the actual release of the album. And then afterwards, Namjoon takes the time to introduce them properly and give them like all the attention and like what does it call it? Give them appropriate amount of time on the stage to introduce them to armies and be like, I've liked your music. I saw this project that you did, or I was a fan of your music from the band or whatever. I feel like Eugene, was it her or someone else who said that they were in a rock band and they sing more rock. She sings more rock, but on the song that she did with him was less rock than that. So anyway, and then Paul Blanco, he got to speak, and then Cold and Tableau, they got to speak after they did their songs with him. I think it's the song with Tableau, I can't remember, but he was dressed really, really cool. I think that's him. I can't remember who's Tableau and who's Cold. I don't remember which guy was which, but there was a guy who had this jacket on with the like the neck was up a little bit, like halfway up his neck, the collar. I mean, I can't even remember now. There's too many songs swirling around in my mind, and I'm not gonna get it right. And I'm not gonna look it up because I already told you that if I navigate away from my screen, I might have a gap in my recording. Like it might mess up with my recording. So I'm gonna move on. But like I said, first, no, let me say this. Suga, his YouTube show, I'm not gonna say it right. Suchita, Suchita, Suchita. I can't say it right, but it's a play on Dechita and Suga. Those the name and the word. He had Namjoon on his show, and Namjoon talked about how a couple of notable things in Wildflower. He had a super long intro. Or a super long verse, or something like that. Like the intro, even before verse one, I think is what he said. It was like 16 bars, 16 measures, something like that. And that's not really very usual. The intro of a song is usually tends to be a lot shorter. But anyway, it was really long, and then his verse was really long too, before the chorus comes in for the first time. And Suga was commenting on how that must be like really unique and hard to do. And Namjoon was like, yeah, but that's I don't know, that's what he wanted to do. And I really love the style of Wildflower. I really love the song. I really love how long the intro is. I love how long the verse is. And then I also love, like, in contrast, the chorus is pretty short, but you do get to hear the chorus, I believe, three or four times in the song. And I'm not a fan of short songs. I love the longer songs. Give me all the 4 and 5 minute songs. I'm happy to hear them over and over and over again and to love them and give them all the love that I can. And then also they discussed on Suga's show how Namjoon released Indigo at a time when his album isn't even going to count in the year-end charts and stuff like that. And they weren't saying that was stupid. They weren't saying that was a bad choice. I think they were just talking about how he released it anyway, knowing that it wasn't going to, get as much notice and much popularity. But here we are in August, and in the article I just read last night says that that Indigo is still in the top 30 of global sales, I believe. Global album sales, something like that, where it's like in the top 30 of streaming and in the top 30 of album purchases. It's still doing that well, even though it was released in 2022. And then right behind it, D-Day was like in the top 31 or the top 31 spot. And then Jimin's Face was something like 47th or 96th for sales. So let's go ahead and then talk about who's came first. Was it Face came first and then D-Day? I want to say that's right. I can't remember whose came first though. Face or D-Day? I had an army friend who she said she loves all the members. She's OT7, absolutely loves all the members. She has a bias. Hobi is her bias. But she said that she and her family were more looking forward to Jimin's release of his solo project and album than the rest of them, because we already had heard a mixtape by each of the rappers. So each of the rap line had already, RM had already released Mono Playlist and some other works before that. So we knew what he sounded like. And then Suga had released August D and D2. We knew what he sounded like. We knew his style and some of the things that he was capable of and things that he wanted to show and different colors that he wanted to, feature of his talent and of his mind and thoughts and feelings and everything. And then we already knew how JK was going to sound eventually because we know the kind of music he likes. He likes to cover stuff by popular artists such as Lauv, Harry Styles, Justin Bieber. He's done Paper Hearts. He's covered Adam Levine from Maroon 5. He's done a lot of stuff in SoundCloud. He has so many different cover songs. We already know what he's going to sound like. And we know what Jin sounds like because of his the style of Jin's music, I guess, is more like ballads. We have Awake and Tonight and Epiphany, and then Moon was a little bit different, but still kind of like a not a ballad, but not really like an anthem either, but it was more upbeat. And then The Astronaut is like a tribute almost song. It's a tribute, like a love song to Army. And like assuring us, I didn't even talk about this part, but it's like assuring us that he loves us and that he's going to come back and that he's always going to be here for us, and that he's going to stay here with us. And he released that before he went to the military in December. And so, I guess, anyway, my friend was saying that we didn't really know what Jimin was going to release because he hasn't done as many cover songs and hasn't produced as much. And from him, we have Serendipity and Lie and Filter, which are three different types of songs. Filter and Lie actually both have kind of like a Latin vibe to them, like Spain Latin, Like Filter has those chords that kind of remind you of. I'm gonna say the wrong genre. I'm gonna say the wrong type of dance, but it's like a Spanish beat and a Spanish like chords. So if you do like an A minor, for anyone who is into chords and music and stuff, if you do a minor chord and then you go to a major chord a lot, Filter is in like a D minor or A minor or something like that, and then it goes to B major or E major, whatever, but it's like that's the minor part, and then the major part is ba, 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 but it's a major seven chord. Anyway, it's very like Latin. I don't know how to like say it really, but it sounds like Spain to me. And the heeled boots that he wore during Filter on the Map of the Soul on the Experience, that streaming concert, the heeled boots and the suit and everything that he wore and some of the dance and everything, it just had this kind of Latin flavor to it. And then, what's the other one I was already mentioning? Oh, Lie. Lie is kind of like that too. It has that low, guitar in the very opening, like in the very intro before he starts singing. And then, anyway, but Lie is still very different. So there's something about Lie that has kind of a Latin flavor to it. Serendipity, completely different. Like, I'm not even going to try to attempt to talk about Serendipity right now because it's a BTS song. All these are BTS songs, but I really can't say a lot about it with knowing what I'm actually talking about. So I don't remember if Face came first or if D-Day came first. I want to say Face came first. And I want to say that it started this year. I don't even remember the release date, to be honest. Was it February or March? Was it February? Anyway, we had those two. Whichever one came first. Face is one that I'm not as familiar with. I didn't listen to it as much. I watched Jimin in Burn It Down, Burn It Down. What's that song? I don't even remember the titles, of the songs that are on his album. I didn't get to purchase it, and I have not heard, I didn't get to hear the Dear Army song until he released a video of it on Weverse, and I think it also might have gone on YouTube. But I loved that. I watched it a few times that day. It was beautiful. He's around, surrounded by all these green. It looks like it's the same place where they recorded a video of them performing Blue and Gray, a place with a low ceiling where they were all just kind of standing in a bunch of flowers and grasses. And he was sitting there and then walking around a little bit recording Dear Army. So I love that song. And then, Like Crazy. I like that song a lot. I listened to it a whole bunch of times. So what I can say about the song Like Crazy is that I listened to the English version and the Korean version. I like the Korean version better, as always. It's not a rule I have for myself, but that's what I find is always what happens when there's a Korean version versus an English version. I'm loving the Korean version so much more. I love the Like Crazy. I like the dance a lot. And I like the choreography, and I like how Jimin looks, and I like how he sounds, and I like the words, and I am happy for him that he was able to, I guess, use a clip or two clips from a movie like Crazy. I've never seen the movie, but I feel like the lead male in the movie is the person who played Mr. Chekhov, like the young Anton Chekhov in the Star Trek movies, and that actor tragically passed away. I don't know if you guys know this, but his friends or neighbors or someone in his circle of loved ones found him pinned by his own car against his garage door. So it's like, I don't know if he got out of his car to check his mail or got out of his car to do something while it was running. But I think that his car, if I remember right from what I read, his car moved by itself and pinned him between it and the garage door, and he passed away. And he was way too young and gone too soon. A very talented actor and very promising actor, and that's how we lost him. And so, if I can say anything about that, just as a side note, please always either turn your car off, don't idle it when you're in there, or when someone, like, especially if you have kids in there or a dog, always either turn the car off while you're getting your mail or while you're closing your gates or whatever it is that you could be doing once you've started your car at your house or at a business or, at your friend's house or something. Always, please, always set the emergency brake when your car is on if you are going to leave the driver's seat. If you're going to put it in park, park is not enough. You need to have the emergency brake on, and you need to turn your wheel a little bit so that the car doesn't like slide backwards or forwards if it's on an incline. So, as you can see from that story, and it's a true story, we lost a talented, wonderful young person due to I don't know if this is what happened or if his car malfunctioned or if it was on a slant. We don't know like the details of his driveway or what it was like. I'm not going to Google it right now to read about it, but if you guys are curious, maybe I'm a little bit hazy on the details, but that's what I remember reading was that someone in his circle found him pinned against the door, like, squished, not squished, but like pinned, trapped there between his car and the wall or the garage door or something. So what I get from that is always, always use the parking brake. Always. If you think you don't need it, please think again. It's the same as checking the blind spot when you're about to change lanes. Please always look over your shoulder, whichever lane you're about to merge into or change into when you're riding or, I mean, driving a car. Please always look over your shoulder and check that blind spot because there's gonna be somebody in that blind spot and you are going to cause an accident to either hurt yourself or them or both or others. There could be an accident or collision that involves more than just you and another car could cause a big mess, a big pileup, and a lot of damage and a lot of hurt or worse. So please just take away from this. Please always use your parking brake when your car is on, if you're going to leave your car, if you're going to leave the driver's seat. And also if you're going to leave your driver's seat and there's going to be children or pets in there or like any person with special needs or a person who could be goofy or mess around in your car or anything like that, it's best to just turn the car off. It's best to not even leave it idling and then leave the driver's seat because you don't know what can happen. Back to the song Like Crazy. I love the song, but I don't love the sound snippets, the sound bites from the movie in the song. Yes, they create, like, they give you a sort of feeling, and if you read what the song is about and stuff, it fits, but at the same time, I prefer them not to be there, especially the second one towards the end of the song. It's effective, but I'm just tired of hearing it. So, like, when the guy says alone again, and then he does this big inhale and takes a sigh, and then he goes, "What's the point?" It just sounds too, I don't know. It sounds too vulnerable. It sounds too intimate. It sounds like that should be in a film instead of in Jimin's song. Does that make sense? Like, it sounds like Jimin's song, Like Crazy, with those sound clips in it, should be like featured in a film instead of being a standalone track within his body of work or within his album where you hear the guy talking. I don't remember exactly. And then earlier, I feel like the girl, the main actress in it, who plays opposite this guy, I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, the actor that I was talking about that lost his life. She says something like, "I hope you can trust me," or "I want you to trust me," or I don't even remember the words. Like I say, I listened to it a whole bunch of times, but I mostly listened to it for Jimin and not for those sound clips from that film. And again, I've never seen the film, but I'm guessing it's like a love story or a chick flick, whatever you call it. I don't know if it ends happy or if it's bittersweet or if it's sad or if it leaves you feeling this melancholy longing or whatever, but the song Like Crazy as a song is great. The dancing, the choreo, and all of that is great. And hearing Jimin, of course, singing and seeing him in the MV, he looks really stunning. So I love it. Love the song Dear Army. The song Face Off, I like the song. I like the tune. I like the beat. I like the dancing. Don't love the explicit words. But it's a really cool song and it's a really cool dance. I don't really love MVs where everybody's wearing black, though. It's kind of hard for me. I'd rather that the main dancer, which is Jimin, would be wearing something that's more, a lot more distinctive in color and tone than what the backup dancers are wearing. He does switch to a lighter outfit at the end, which is cool, but I wish that like was easier to see him because it's a very gray blue, background, and then everybody wearing black. Jimin doesn't stand out as much as I want him to. I want to focus on Jimin more. So it's a really cool production and everything. They worked hard on it and it's effective as well. It's appealing to the eyes and the senses, but at the same time, I wanted Jimin to stand out more. Before that, he released Vibe with what is his name? He's from, is he from, what is he from even? Okay, I'm gonna get it wrong. Is he from Big Bang or is he from G Idol? I don't know if G Idol is a person or a band, a K-pop group. I don't know if G Idol, because there's G Dragon and there's Tae Yang or Tae Young. I don't know. It's not Taehyung, I know that. It's not Taehyun. I think it's Taeyang. Taeyang. And that's not his name, that's his stage name. He has a different name. And he also went on Suchita. I can't say it right. He also went on Suga's show, and I loved that. He discussed his career a little bit, he discussed his family a little bit, who he is as a person. I know he's a father. He's married. I think he's the first one in his group, or maybe the only one in his group, to get married and to still be married with the person that he started being married to, and to still be married to the person who is the mother of their children. So he's like more of a family man than the other members from his group. And he recently released a solo album. And he also put up a video of him singing while Park Bo-gum, who is one of my favorite K-drama actors, is playing the piano for it. And I forgot the name of that song too. I don't come here prepared. Like I said in the last episode, I don't have notes. I'm just talking, talking, talking. It's probably not the best way to run a podcast, but this is how I'm doing it. So hopefully you guys are okay with that. I'm a real person. I have faults. Have weaknesses. There's a lot that I lack, but my heart is just wanting to talk about BTS and to share with you guys and to relate things to real life as well. And also, I'm a music teacher, so there might be a little bit that comes out here and there about like what I'm noticing, about what I'm hearing and stuff. So, in my dreams as a youth and as a teenager, I wanted to be a professional dancer. I wanted to have a studio. I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to learn to choreograph, and I didn't get to do that. I didn't get to pursue that. So, part of my love for that is going to come through in this podcast as well. And it's kind of like I had to replace my love with another love. So, I replaced my love for dance with my love for music, and I'm able to use music to earn an income. It's not my only job, I have a couple other jobs as well. But, I really liked Vibe. Vibe is catchy. It's catchier the more you watch it and listen to it. It's catchy. I do have a complaint about the MV though. What is the point in getting Jimin and Taeyang? I almost said Taeyang because that's how it's spelled, but it's pronounced Taeyang, I believe. What is the point in getting them looking so cool and so sharp and so like? They look amazing. They look brilliant. Like the way they're styled, the way their wardrobe, their hair, their accessories, their boots, and everything. What is the point in having them do the choreo and all that if the camera is just gonna zoom into them super close to zoom in on their eyes and zoom in on their hair and zoom in on their ear and zoom in on their chin? And you're not gonna just like, let's just keep the camera back more. So we can actually see them dance. You know, they were up on this cube or up on this round or square dance floor, and the lighting and the filters in the background and everything was beautiful. It was a simple video. So if they had had a long shot instead of the super close, super up close zoom in shots, we would have been able to see the whole aesthetic from the colors and the lighting and like see them actually dancing instead of just zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out. And they had, what, two or three different outfit changes? And each one looked so nice. They looked so handsome. They looked so attractive. But it's like, why do all that if you're just gonna not show us, you know, the whole picture? So that did frustrate me. I was like, come on, this could have been, in my opinion, this could have been better. And then they released like a studio. No, what is it called? It's like a more intimate version of it where they were in there were musicians playing Vibe live, and Jimin and Taeyang were sitting on stools, and like the instruments were around and behind them, and it was a different like a nice lit room. It was cozy. There were some props and a rug, or maybe I don't know what kind of a floor it was. I don't remember. But we got to actually see them, and there were some close-ups, but it was also the camera was set farther back where you could just see them and enjoy them more. They didn't get up and do their dance and do their footwork and all that. We didn't get to enjoy that. But and I actually haven't looked to see if there's a dance practice video either, or a performance video where there's more of those long camera shots that I love so much. Anyway, like the song a lot, like the collab. I'm not as familiar with Jimin's Face album. I think he released Promise on it, if I remember. And then the Dear Army, even though I didn't get to hear it in Spotify and I didn't buy the album because I couldn't, I still got to enjoy it when he released it on Weverse, so that was really nice. I don't remember other songs from the album, sadly. I don't remember what their titles are or how they go, so it's probably the album that I've spent the least amount of time with. Because not too long after that, we then had D-Day, I believe. And on D-Day, I was the most excited to hear Amygdala, however you say amygdala. I was most excited to hear that one, and then the song with Woo. What's his name? Woo. This is gonna bug me now. He's like the lead vocalist from The Rose, and he has a really distinctive voice and tone. He has this special sort of waver to his like, it's not vibrato, it's like I can't describe it, but Woo Song, Woo Sam, Woo Sheen. What is his name? This is gonna bug me. What his name is. All right, I'm gonna take a chance and navigate away from the screen for a minute so that I can look up his name. Woo something. And he did the song Snooze with Suga, and then the special Woo Song, that's it. His name is Woo Song. He is 30 years old. He was born in 1993. He's an attractive guy and also has a great personality, just like all the Rose members do. But he's featured on the song Snooze, and then the pianist or the piano player is a Japanese composer performer who recently passed away. And Suga got to meet him and work with him on that song as well. So it's really nice to see and hear that. I didn't get to watch The Road to D-Day, the special. I don't have Disney Plus. I didn't get to watch that. The man's name is Ryuichi Sakamoto. Ryuichi? Ah! Ryuichi. Ryuichi Sakamoto, and then Kim Woo Sung. They were on Snooze, and I really love the song so much. It's a very special song, and in the song, Suga refers back to So Far Away, which was on his August D album. Featuring Haze, Hazy, Hazy, Hazy. I don't know how you say her name either, but she originally sang So Far Away, and she sounded great. And then of course there was another version of that that was released with JK and Jin singing the vocals. Both of them are really powerful. Of course, I like the BTS version more. And then the best version of So Far Away is when all the vocal line sings. So Tae and Jimin sing it as well. And they did it in one of their concerts that was featured in Bangbangkon recently. I think we got a Bangbangkon this year or last year or both. Anyway, I don't remember what years we got those. Maybe one was in, I don't even remember when they were. I'm so sorry. I feel like we got one this year and one last year, or one this year and one in 2021, where you got to see all four members of the vocal line is singing and performing So Far Away with Suga. So anyway, that's the best version, of course, but they refer back to it in this song Snooze at the end, and Suga says dreamin', and then anyway, I don't know the words, but it is very beautiful. So when I listened to D-Day, I cried listening to D-Day, the actual song D-Day. I cried on Amygdala, not knowing the words because the lyrics weren't released yet. And then I cried listening to Snooze. And then there's an interlude as well on the track list that it was really, really neat. And I got kind of emotional listening to. I listened to it by myself with, what am I saying here? With the headphones on. And the quality was really wonderful. Let's see. Life Goes On is also another one that's really, really nice. Interlude Dawn, I like that one. The song with Hobie, the collab with Hobie, it's called Huh? HUH? Question mark, exclamation point. That's a cool one. I like that one. I love Haggum. Polar Night is not one of my favorites. I don't even remember right now how SDL goes. So I do apologize for not knowing that. People Part 2. It's got a nice mellow vibe, nice groove to it. But, and I love the MV a lot. I love the MV. And it's easy to sing along to, but it's not one of my favorite tracks on the album. Songs that are really, really repetitive are not my favorite type of song. So if a phrase is repeated over and over again, or a word is repeated over and over again, I know I have to know, and I don't understand the choice of writing that and recording that. I don't understand it because it seems like just a lot of the same sound. And Ayushi sounds beautiful singing it, and I really love Suga's parts the most in that song, but it seems like it's kind of repetitive, so it's not my favorite. I am not a person who's in a position to pay for concert tickets that steep of pricing. So, but I did get to purchase a D-Day with a Target gift card. I got to go and get an album. So I was really happy to have that. I was emotional when I bought it and when I checked out with it and had it in my hands walking out of the store. You know, I was really happy about that. Yoongi, he did a big tour. He didn't go everywhere, but he went to a lot of places and he performed a lot. And you can find footage of his concerts if you didn't get to see it. And also, they live streamed one of them, didn't they? I couldn't purchase a ticket to that one either to watch it on my own TV or my computer. I couldn't do that, but I wanted to. And I think I would have, I mean, I know I would have loved it. I guess he did certain things, like he had different segments with Army that I don't really understand because I didn't really understand the context, but apparently he's got something, or he had something where he would borrow an Army's phone and take a picture for them or a video with their phone. And I guess people were starting to make jokes that they had like flip phones or old phones. I don't know if it's like no old Nokia phones or something. The kind that doesn't fold and the kind that doesn't swipe. But people were doing a lot of video clips of him using their phone to like film himself and sing into it a little bit and do a video and all that. And then Seesaw acoustic version where he actually played the guitar for it. I absolutely love Seesaw. For the longest time, it was my favorite BTS song, even though it was a solo song. I really loved it so much, and I still do, but it's not my favorite anymore. And then he got to have Halsey come out on stage with him, and Max on Burn It. He got to perform Burn It, and he got to perform Suga's interlude with Halsey. And I'm trying to remember what else. It would have been really cool to see him do Blueberry Eyes with Max, but that's not an August D song. So they did burn it together, and Max was wearing some kind of like a one piece or a two piece sleeveless suit. Was it bright red? I feel like it was like a sparkly or a very vibrant red outfit. I don't know if it was leathery or rubbery or shiny or shimmery or sparkly. I don't remember, but it was really cool, and the lighting was like fire colors as well. Lots of reds, orange, brown, gold, that kind of colors. And I did not watch a whole recording of the concert. There are some people who have put them on YouTube, but I didn't watch a whole one. I feel like I want to still, so I guess it's on my list to do that, but I didn't do it yet. And then the Amygdala MV. I love it because it's very easy to understand. It's very easy to follow. It's not distracting. It doesn't have dancers in it. It doesn't have other actors in it. It's just Yoongi. And you really can understand what's going on in that MV. And I appreciate that they've put up this video has some content or a scene or some scenes or material that may be sensitive to some viewers. So, do you still want to watch it? And I always hit yes. And I know that it's going to be about the pills, the prescription pills that he was taking. And there's a scene where it looks like he's cutting his eye or his face. And then after that, he has the scar like the king from August, from D2. Anyway, it's like several different versions of August D in the Haggum video. It's like the king from the old Joseon era, the blonde one, you know, and then a more modern one that is like, I don't know if he like dies in a bathtub of money or something. I can't remember. And then he's like walking through the streets of Thailand and all that stuff. But he does have the eye scratch or scar in the amygdala video, in the MV, and it looks like he used a box cutter to give himself that scar. Anyway, I think that and the pills and possibly the car, the motor act, the accident when he's on his motorbike or scooter when he was a delivery guy, in the early days of being a trainee at Big Hit. There's at least three sensitive things in that MV. Also, he's trying to get out and he can't open the door. So I mean, you could have the feeling of being trapped or claustrophobia or being stuck. That could be triggering to people. I heard that a lot of armies had a very hard time watching the MV and felt really worried and sad and concerned for him. I didn't feel that as much because I already knew about those things that he went through. Because he's shared about them before. He shared about being depressed, and I thought he shared about taking prescription medication for depression, anxiety. And in August D, his first mixtape, he has a bleeped out section in one of the songs where the doctor or the evaluator that his parents took him to asked if he had ever tried to commit suicide, and he said, and then it beeps. Or like maybe it bleeps out the word suicide, but we already knew that he went through those things. So to see them in the amygdala, stuttering here, to see him in the amygdala video was not a shock to me, was not a surprise. I already knew about those things, so I felt like, and since they were long ago, and he is the person who he is now, where he has processed through those memories, where he has. Like he's gone through, like he's tipped the scale the other direction, I feel, where he's no longer that depressed guy. He's no longer that guy who doesn't know what he's gonna do as a career. He wants to do music, but he's not sure if he can. He used to want to be a break dancer, I guess, and thought maybe he would dance instead of composing and producing music. He's been able to do so many things since. Like, he's an ambassador for the NBA. He has done Samsung ringtones and lots of really nice collabs with people. His career is great. His mood is better. He's got relationships that he's proud of that are very strong and healthy with his family and his loved ones and his friends. So he's not the same guy that went through those things, through the getting hit by the car and taking the pills and possibly and cutting himself and all that. He's not that same guy. So I wasn't triggered like some armies were saying they were triggered, because I knew about all that before, and I see that he is recovered and moved on from those things. Sure, they still make him who he is. They still may affect him a little bit. He might have some nightmares still, because I'm sure they're very real, and sometimes they probably feel like they just barely happened. But in other ways, he's been able to tip the scale on the side of positivity and accomplishment and goodness and upliftment, you know, and all those good, happy things that he's been through. There's been other traumas, like getting their concert taken away because of the pandemic and worrying about each other, about the military, and all kinds of stuff that they don't share with us that we don't really know about. But I felt that he faced all of those memories in amygdala. He wrote about it, he sang about it, he composed about it, and then he acted in his own MV. He acted those scenes out, and I feel like that would bring him some great closure and some peace to it, his life. So it's not that I was happy watching it, but I felt safe watching it, and I felt like he's safe now, and I don't need to be concerned and worried about him the way that we would have needed to if those things were just barely happening. I will never get over the fact that I did not get to go see him in concert. That really hurt. It hurt deeply. I will always regret that, and I want to see him again. Whether he does a solo concert or not, it doesn't matter, but I'm heartbroken that I didn't get to see him in this one. I'm really happy that he continues to do his YouTube show. He's had a lot of interesting and fun people on. He had a very well-seasoned Korean actor on. I don't remember his name, but the guy was in Reborn. I think it's called Reborn. With Song Joong-ki. I think that's his name. And I don't remember the name of the man, but I've seen him in a couple K-dramas. And then he also interviewed two of the TXT members and some of the Seventeen members. And I feel like he had, what is her name? She's married to Won Bin, right? She's beautiful. She's got a very distinct look. She was in Romance is a Bonus Playbook. Romance is a Bonus Book, I mean. I'm getting that mixed up with Prison Playbook. Romance is a Bonus Book. She starred in that with, and I forget her name right now, but she was on his show and she was so cute and lovable. Jin was on the show. Every BTS member has been on the show, and I've watched all of them except the end of Hobie's. I'm working on that, but I keep getting interrupted. And then I haven't seen Jungkook's episode either. But I love them so much. I love them so much. Hopefully they'll have PD Bong on the show. I really, really think that would be cool. Love to see him interview Zico and Rain if he could. I'd love to see him interview one or two of the Enhypen members. I don't think it would be fair if he only interviewed one, so I think it'd be great if he would interview two of them. And but of course he'll do what he wants to do with his show, and it's fun and the vibe is cool, and yeah, you know, it's just cool to see like what they're gonna do, what they're gonna talk about, what they're gonna eat, what they're gonna drink. I like the part where he asks if you could go to your future or your past, which one would you choose? And I like where he asks what's been your greatest or happiest memory, and then likes to promote whatever the other person is working on. So I think I've gone over all of the releases that have happened so far. I did talk about Seven with Jungkook, and I know Taeyong is working on his solo album. We've heard rumors that it's coming. We've heard rumors that Jungkook might be releasing a whole album, but I don't know if it's true. And Namjoon has another album he's working on. My personal opinion, regardless of everything that's been talked about, regardless of everything that's been mentioned and what's been said, my personal opinion is BTS should be able to do what they want, when they want, and how they want. My personal opinion as a fan is to support them in whatever they want, however they want, whenever they want, whichever they want. But there is a part of me that would love it if the remaining members would begin their military enlistment just so they can go, be gone at the same time, and then return somewhat near the same times as each other. Because as it is, Jin and Hobi are, they enlisted, what, Jin in December, Hobi in, was it February or March? It was March, right? It was a month after his birthday. So they're like 4 months apart. And Hobi has 411 days left. And Jin has something like 300 and... I don't remember how much it is. 300 and something. There's an app I'm using called Goondori that tells me how many days they have left. And if you'll allow me, I will look at that right now. Hopefully it's accurate, but it's kind of like a countdown app, and it's in Korean, so I don't really understand a lot of what I'm looking at. But here I've saved that Jin enlisted on December 10, 2022, and that he will be honorably discharged on June 9th of 2024. It shows the percentage of what he has left and what he has served. So if you don't want to go by days and you want to go by percentage, he is 43.22693 etc. etc. percent finished with his military service, and it also tells when his next salary is going to be and when his next rank is, and it says PFC6. I think that's the rank he is at now, and I don't know what it means, so I do apologize for that. Going over to Hobie's page, it says he has 1 year, 1 month, and 13 days left. It says he is a PFC3. 410 more days before he will be discharged. Let's see. On September 16th, 2024. So if Jin is coming home in June, Hobi's coming home in September. Hopefully all goes well and they're super healthy and safe so that they don't have any reason to come home early. You know, to recover from anything. Hopefully they just continue being healthy, being really well, and like mentally and physically well, emotionally well, and they come home as planned and then can have that time to debrief, to unwind, to adjust back to home life, back from the military. It says that Hobi has 140 days that he's already served and 410 days remaining. That's kind of cool. There's a 1 and a 4 and a 0 in his current days served and a 4 and a 1 and a 0 in his remaining days. It says here that Jin will serve for 548 days total and Hobi will serve for 550 days total. Don't know what the difference is. I don't remember where it is that each one of them is serving. I feel like Jin is up somewhere near the coast, very near North Korea, on the northeastern corner, or is he right at the top somewhere of South Korea? I don't remember, like, that border area or what it's called, and I don't know how close Hobi is to that. I don't want the South Korean government to be able to exploit or use BTS to get them together to do a performance as BTS while they're in the military. I don't think that's right. I'm going to be very outspoken about this. I'll be very honest with you. I think that is wrong. I think that is immoral and unethical and not fair and not okay and never will be okay unless BTS wanted to do that themselves. I don't think that they should have an interrupt in their military activities, in their service. I don't think they should have to practice. I don't think they should have to be artists or worry about being a celebrity or a star or a role model as an artist for anyone while they're serving in the military. Let their artist days be artist days. Let their military days be military days. Let that time be completely separate, and don't bring their performing world back into the their military world, you know? I just think that's wrong. So if they don't serve at the same time, the chances of that happening, I hope, are less instead of more. But at the same time, if the Korean government wants to give them assignments or commands and they have to follow, I guess they have to follow. And I don't know what would be stopping the government from saying, okay, well, we already have two serving and let's get the rest of them together with them on like a leave day or a holiday to practice and learn this song or to do this message or this promotion or this announcement. You know, I just don't want that to happen at all. As much as we love BTS and want to see them, I think that is wrong. And I don't support that if they would be forced to do something like that. So let's just hope that they don't ever have to. I'm going to let you guys go here. Thank you so much for listening to the previous episode and this one if you have. If it's your first time here, welcome. You are always welcome. This is a safe place. Hopefully I haven't said anything that hurts you, hurts your feelings or worries you. But these are my own personal opinions, my own experiences, and the way that I take in BTS content, the way that I relate to my life, to what I'm seeing them doing. And that's just what the podcast is, and that's what it's going to be. I know I don't have a lot of advice right now. I have given advice at other times, like how to be healthy and how to establish good habits, and how to get through like depression and anxiety here and there. I've had snippets of that. I've had some song analysis, like singing and vocalizing analysis and things. I intend to have more of that. The one episode that I posted with actual BTS music in it, it didn't go on Spotify. It didn't get published, and I don't know why. But I recorded it a long time ago, and I published it a long time ago, and something happened where it didn't get released. So I was just telling you guys, like, what songs brought me in as ARMY, and what songs are not my favorite BTS songs, but, like, the songs that brought me in, the first songs that I heard from BTS, and I wanted to share that with you. So I made a radio show about it, and it never got released for some reason. So I want to figure out what that's about. I want to figure out what's holding that back, because I would like to do more radio shows. Radio type, like a music show type episode on this podcast, or maybe a completely new podcast for that. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and close now. So once again, this has been Begin the Search, and if you want to find me on any social media, the only place you can find me right now is in Twitter. That is at Kaethos TV, at Kaethos TV, and I'm not a person who posts and tweets every single day. I don't retweet a lot of stuff, but I am in Twitter every single day. So if you message me, or if you comment on one of my posts, I will see your post. I'll see your message. I hope that you're enjoying this podcast, and it's not for everyone, but I'm hoping that a lot of you listening are getting something from it. Thank you again to everyone who's listening from around the world and all the different people in many different countries. I appreciate you guys finding it and hopefully liking it, and I hope that I will bring you some more quality episodes soon. And until next time, this has been Begin the Search. It's about BTS, and I'm inspired and comforted and motivated by BTS, so that's why I want to come here and share it with you. Take good care. Until next time, peace out.